Dawn Baker says people, including in the pro-life movement, tend to fall for a major misconception. We tend to see women who are considering abortion as probably the teenager next door who accidentally got pregnant. But Dawn has been in the pro-life movement for a while now, and she says that those women are usually women in crisis. The needs are bigger than we know. Today, I'm excited to share with you this interview with Dawn, and you will learn incredible things about what the church can do to really help women in need. Hey there, listeners. Welcome back to the Charisma News Podcast. I am so excited for today's episode because we're actually continuing our conversation about foster care and adoption, and really just the huge impact that family makes on our culture and, of course, our individual lives. So today, I have the privilege of talking to Dawn Baker. Hi there, Dawn, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you.
Well, we are so happy to have you here. So, Dawn, I know before the interview, you were telling me a little bit about how what you're doing is actually impacting people beyond the body of Christ and reaching places like MTV. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Back in 2009, MTV was doing a program about teenagers that were found themselves in a pregnancy, and they were looking for someone who would be willing to tell an alternative story, not just about a teenager that had a baby and was parenting. They were looking for someone that was working with a client that was making an adoption plan. And I happened to be the pregnancy counselor that was working with a young couple who were 16 and pregnant and very much came from an impoverished situation. And they were willing to tell their story and to be a part of that program. And initially, we signed up for one 40-minute episode back in 2009, and it has continued on. And for the last 10 years, we've been filming reality shows that show and highlight adoption and what it looks like to place a child for adoption on the Teen Mom program and the Teen Mom OG program, with a young couple named Caitlin and Tyler. And it's just been an incredible blessing to reach into an audience that we ordinarily would not have audience with, and be able to just talk about the positive side of adoption and what it looks like to have an open adoption and kind of the struggles with grief and loss and the struggles with relationships along the way, but also the blessings that are there.
Wow, that's just so amazing how God gave you guys that platform to share something so important. It's incredible.
Yes, we've been very blessed to be a part of that.
Listeners, by the way, in case you don't know who Dawn is yet, she's the director of Infant Adoption Pregnancy Counseling in Michigan. Now, I'm sure that involves a lot. So, Dawn, to get us started, can you just take a quick moment and explain what exactly do you do?
Sure. I get to work with women who are in unexpected and unintended pregnancies. It's been the passion of my life to be able to come alongside of women that are coming from really difficult places and making really difficult decisions and kind of walk out the journey with them of their pregnancy and adoption decision if that's what they choose.
Amazing. And now I'm just personally curious about this. We didn't talk about this before, but what kind of brought you into this line of work?
I started out helping women in unintended pregnancies. Many years ago, when I myself was considering having a family and got pregnant a little bit before I thought I would. And actually, coming from a conservative background and a Christian family and a Christian upbringing, I was surprised that the thought went across my mind of, well, this isn't a great time to have a baby. And what would I do if this baby came into my family now at this time when I'm not done with my education and we aren't financially secure? And it really surprised me at how easy it might be to just quietly and privately go and have an abortion. And it scared me into the reality of knowing that anybody at any time could feel that a child was an inconvenience and could, even from a conservative background, give that some thought and consideration. So I started really deeply thinking about how do we help women that might be in this situation. And I helped to start a nonprofit at that time that really came alongside women and provided resources to them so that they would feel equipped to parent their child. And so from that, I just moved on after I had my own children, and I have a social work degree, so I came into the field of helping women in an unplanned pregnancy and was always very curious about adoption because I came from an adoption situation myself and had a very dear friend that did. And so I was really curious about it and really looked into that. And so I found myself then at an adoption agency that assisted women who were considering and interested and open to an adoption plan. And I began then my career of helping to counsel women that were interested in that decision.
Wow, that's such a cool story. So how many years in total have you been involved in this kind of work then?
I started about 33 years ago, and I've done adoption work for about the last 20.
Gotcha. Okay. So then in all those years, you must have seen so many stories of women whose lives have been changed because of what you do. And do you mind sharing one of those stories that have just really impacted you?
Sure. I, in my career, have my youngest birth mom was 11, and my oldest birth mom so far was 49.
Wow.
And I've had everything in between, from middle school, high school, college women, women that are married that have children, women that are prostitutes or drug addicts. I've met with many women who had a late-term pregnancy in their 40s and were finding out that they were having a child that had some special needs, maybe like Down syndrome. So we learned really early on that the best approach is to meet them right at their need. Okay. So obviously, if a child at 13 is pregnant, she's going to have very different needs than maybe a 40-year-old would. And so we try to meet them right where their need is and to try to meet that need and come alongside of them. So I'll tell you about a gal that I met earlier this year. She came from a conservative background herself and went to college, started to get a degree, and then found herself in kind of an abusive relationship. And from that, she spiraled into a drug relationship. And she actually, for the first 7 months of her pregnancy, used IV cocaine her entire pregnancy. And then she really thought no one would want her baby because of what she had done and her addiction. And she also was pregnant from a man that was a different ethnicity than her, so she knew this was going to be a child of multiple ethnicities, and she just felt like no one would be interested in this child. And so I met her in about her 8th month of pregnancy and started to walk out that journey with her of trying to identify a family and to meet them and to be able to place her child with a family who indeed did extremely love her child and was thrilled to welcome that child into their home. And very graciously, that child did not go through withdrawal and only spent a couple of days in the hospital.
Wow.
And is doing remarkably well in that family. So it's just a story of kind of redemption and of grace. And I really feel that we were able to reach into her life during a very chaotic time and to bring help to bring some order and to help to bring some peace of mind to her, because she knew she wasn't in a position to parent a child. But we were able to help her to do the next best thing, which is to find a family, a forever family for her child that could love her child. And she has an open adoption where she gets to see the child face to face. Occasionally, she gets together with the adoptive family, and she's getting to see sort of what she envisioned the dream for her child's life. She's getting to see that lived out, which is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely, especially considering the alternative, which just would have been so devastating. So, wow, that is so incredible that that's what you guys do. Can you walk me through maybe some of the different programs that you guys have that support women who are facing unplanned pregnancies?
Sure. Well, when someone calls us or texts us or comes to us via a web form even, that can just kind of interrupt into whatever it is that you're doing. And we try to, I say, stop, drop, and roll. We just roll with it and just come alongside of that woman. So sometimes it's women who just found out they're pregnant and are scared. How do I tell my parents? How do I tell my boyfriend? How do I work this out? So we work with those women that may be abortion-minded, and we come alongside of them. We can connect them to pregnancy resource centers and just work cooperatively with that. So that's kind of the first type of client that we work with. And then we also work with women that are wanting to parent their child. We get them connected to community resources, and Bethany has a resource closet where they can come and get a mommy bag. And that's all from donations from people who feel strongly about preserving life and about helping women in unplanned pregnancies. So we're able to connect them with community resources. We try to get them connected with a local church if we can, or with a mother's ministry. Mm-hmm. And then the other type is just women that come to us that really are late in their pregnancy or have already delivered their babies. And they call and say, I need to make a plan. And so we walk through that adoption decision with them. And then Bethany has many other type of programs that are family preservation programs where we walk the journey with them and try to help them to be the best parents that they can and to be able to be reunified with their child if their child's been removed involuntarily through foster care. So we have many programs that help women. We've even helped refugee women that come to this country that are pregnant and find themselves in a strange country with a strange religion and strange language to them and help them through that pregnancy.
Wow, I love that so much. I love especially the emphasis on loving these people, taking care of them and their needs, and integrating the local church, because sometimes I think as pro-life people and the pro-life movement in general can sometimes focus so much on saving the baby that we forget that the woman having the baby is a person too. So I love that you guys just have such compassion, I guess, and add mercy into what you guys are doing in helping these women in their situations. So I love that so much. But now I'm thinking about the women who are thinking about abortion, and you're trying to change their minds, I'm guessing, in a sense. So can you tell me what's the biggest factor that kind of helps those women who want to have an abortion change their minds and end up having their babies?
I think it's specific to the person that you're talking to. Right. I try to help them to get what I call tunnel vision, to put the blinders on and to look ahead into the future, into the life that that child could live and the potential that that child could have, and the fact that they could be taking away the potential of that future child, person, adult that could be contributing to society. I've talked about this could be the child that discovers the cure to cancer or becomes, a great influencer, and you could be cutting that potential really short. Also, just helping them to understand that they're not alone, because I think a lot of times people want to say you should carry your pregnancy to term, but they're not there to help with the physical resources. Mm-hmm. It's like that portion of scripture that talks about when I'm hungry, how could I hear what you have to say until you feed me? And so when a woman comes to us that's homeless, her very paramount thought is, I don't have a place to live. I don't have anything to eat tonight. I don't have warm clothing. So we need to work on meeting those needs, and the church needs to be available to do that. Another program that we have is called Safe Families for Children, and that is a program that tries to keep women from losing their children to the foster care system, and it requires the local church to have families that will come forward, that will give a safe place to a woman who may be in crisis, and to be able to care for her children so she can get, maybe it's housing, maybe it's a medical procedure done, maybe it's getting a job, or whatever it is that she needs. So in those tangible ways, the church comes around women that are in unplanned pregnancies to help them, in whether that's physical resources or just being there as a person. I think those kinds of things speak volumes to women that are considering abortion.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that up because it kind of hits on my next question, which is, you mentioned the church, you know, being there and meeting those needs. But what are some other ways that the church and really the whole pro-life movement in general can better help women make these life-affirming choices?
I think getting connected with a local pregnancy resource center. They always have a shortage of volunteers. They always have a shortage of resources. And the same thing could be said of Bethany, of coming alongside and supporting the programs that help those women that are in an unintended pregnancy. Just those, sometimes it's dollars, sometimes it's time, sometimes it's, you know, just physically being present or being a listener that listens well and helps to create solutions for whatever that situation is that that person is in.
Absolutely. And I know that there's a ton of different types of adoption, like international adoption and foster care adoption and domestic adoption. And honestly, sometimes I get a little bit confused about all of them. So could you talk to me about Bethany's infant adoption process involving the women that you serve?
Sure. It's what we call a voluntary program. So
gotcha.
We don't go out and seek women out that are in an unplanned pregnancy. They come to us. They find us in various ways, and then they come to us saying, I would like to make an adoption plan for my child. And so we then have families that have been studied in advance, that have been educated about adoption and grief and loss and openness in adoption, that are prepared for the possibility of a baby that's has been exposed to substances during the pregnancy. And we come alongside of that woman and offer her the options that she needs in terms of an adoptive family and in terms of the type of openness that she wants. And we provide all of that free of charge to the birth parents that are coming to us. And so the families that are approved through the infant adoption program pay fees in order to be able to support a nonprofit organization that then they can adopt a child in that way.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So you've actually answered all of my questions today, but before we go, is there anything else that you really feel our audience needs to know about this issue?
I think there's a great deal of misconception about who the woman is that would be finding herself in an unintended or unplanned pregnancy. I think we used to think about it as the teenager next door that had a whoops, but it really is primarily women that are in their mid-20s that are already parenting children, that are in a crisis situation, either relationally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, one of those ways. And I would dearly love to see people understand that this isn't giving a child up for adoption or putting a child up for adoption. It's making a life plan for their child that's thoughtful and meaningful. And we have the great opportunity to step into that space in their life for a very brief time and to be a light and to potentially impact their lives and the life of that child that they're placing for eternity. And so we don't take that lightly, and we can't do it alone. We need people to pray for us. We need people to support us financially. We need people to come alongside with donations. We need folks that will give rides and provide support in a myriad of ways. And so I think everyone can take a place and a part in this whole thing of preserving life.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you, Dawn, for spending your time today talking to me. I think you shared some really valuable information and insight with our listeners. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, truly.
Wonderful. And listeners, keep tuning in to the Charisma News podcast for more interviews like this one.